Good evening.
Blog Talk Radio.
Coming live, a show-stopping, red carpet walking, elegant award show, September 29th to a Metro Detroit theater, is the hottest award show of the year. It's the first annual Spoken Word Billboard Awards, celebrating the Hot 100 ranking artists from across the globe in the elegant facility of the Village Theater in Canton, Michigan, featuring performances by R&B sensation Laurie Edwards, hip-hop phenomenon Zach One, soul singer Stephen Guy White, spoken word artist Romeo Donati, romantic blues musician Elvin Lloyd Horn, poet Jamie McConnell, vocalist Alfreda Castello, poet Dom Touch Artist Register, spoken word artist Jazzy Sadilk, and so many more. Be prepared for sheer entertainment that will touch every possible human emotion in your body, making you thirsty and already anticipating the next year's event. Tickets are $25 and are available through the Village Theater box office. Call 734-394-5300 to reserve your ticket today.
Good evening. This is Lori Coburn with Breaking Free with psychotherapist Lori Coburn. Tonight we are going to talk about Chapter 2, Section 5 in the text of A Course in Miracles. The chapter section is titled The Function of the Miracle Worker. In A Course in Miracles, Jesus is calling us to be miracle-minded and to perform miracles as he did. This is a really tall order, and yet he also says it is something we ultimately all will end up doing as we awaken our minds and return our minds to right-mindedness, to Christ consciousness, if you will, even though that term is not used in A Course in Miracles. A Course in Miracles is all about changing our minds about this world, waking up from what we think is our life. So call in with your questions at 917-932-8881. You can also go to my website, www.loricoburn.com. That's Lori with two R's, L-O-R-R-I. Coburn, C-O-B-U-R-N, and you can click on the Ask Lori button and ask me questions, although I cannot get those live on the show tonight. I can answer you later on. I'll be reading from the text and commenting on it, and join in and sit and listen with the Holy Spirit yourself. One thing to remember with The Course in Miracles is that it is an individual spiritual study program. You and your Holy and the Holy Spirit within you, that is your guide. If something I am saying does not resonate with you, go within to your guide. This is about you and coming to your truth about things. And the Holy Spirit says in A Course in Miracles that we will be given lessons in the form that we specifically and personally can understand and relate to. So if I'm saying something that just doesn't match up with you, it's no big deal. Just go within yourself because you are your own authority for your own life. We all understand and perceive things differently, but the ultimate goal is to get back to love. To get back to the truth of our being, that we are the Holy Son of God, that we are not these bodies, and that we are actually not even here in this world. We are the observers of this world. Our minds are at home with God outside of time and space, and we are just watching what's going on here. And when you get to that place, which A Course in Miracles calls the dreamer of the dream, that's when you become miracle-minded. That's when you receive and give miracles. And A Course in Miracles says also that the function of the miracle worker is to accept the atonement first for himself, because you can only give what you have received. A miracle worker who has not accepted the miracle cannot give that because he or she does not understand what it is. And so I am working personally with a woman named Lisa Natoli, N-A-T-O-L-I. her website is gorgeousforgod.com. And Lisa is a true miracle worker. Lisa has lived this experience, and on my website, I do have a link to a discussion I had with her where she describes her process in becoming the miracle worker and all the miracles that happened in her life to shift her consciousness totally to miracle-mindedness. Lisa lives in a place of joy and peace and right-mindedness where she is connected to truth, God, all the time. She's one of the coolest people you'll ever want to meet, and she has brought to my attention that we are all meant to be living that life of joy and miracle-mindedness as she is doing. I'll start reading from the text right now, and then I will comment. Paragraph 1. Before miracle workers are ready to undertake their function in this world, it is essential that they fully understand the fear of release. Otherwise, they may unwittingly foster the belief that release is imprisonment, a belief that is already very prevalent. This misperception arises in turn from the belief that harm can be limited to the body. That is because of the underlying fear that the mind can hurt itself. None of these errors is meaningful because the miscreations of the mind do not really exist. This recognition is a far better protective device than any form of level confusion, because it introduces correction at the level of the error. It is essential to remember that only the mind can create, and that correction belongs at the thought level. To amplify an earlier statement, spirit is already perfect, and therefore does not require correction. The body does not exist except as a learning device for the mind. This learning device is not subject to errors of its own because it cannot create. It is obvious then that inducing the mind to give up its miscreations is the only application of creative ability that is truly meaningful. Wow, that is a topic that we could do all night long on just that one paragraph. Okay, let's take it apart. Before miracle workers are ready to undertake their function in this world, it is essential that they fully understand the fear of release. Line 1. This means that we are terrified of God. We are terrified of love. We are terrified of waking up. What happens as you do A Course in Miracles, you do the workbook lessons, and you start waking up, you start getting in touch with the part of you that is truly afraid of love. You start noticing it more and more. When you're more unconscious, you really don't pay attention to that. And if asked, you would say, oh, no, I love God and I love people and I want to wake up. But truly, we don't. Because if we did, we would already be awake. We would never get sick. We would always be in joy. A Course in Miracles tells us that the idea of death, because death is just an idea and it is completely and totally unreal, the idea of death takes many forms. Depression, anxiety, weariness, anger, separation, financial problems, separation from God. It takes all these different forms. It's not just death of the body, but it's every single problem that we seem to have in the world. That is what the idea of death is. And we have chosen to be here. We have chosen to think that we're here, and we like it here, and we want to stay here, and we want to keep our individual identities. It is absolutely terrifying to let go of our individual separateness and our autonomy and what we perceive as our control. Truly, we're not really in control, but we like to think that we are. Okay, so a miracle worker needs to understand with the person he's working with that they are going to be really, really afraid of waking up. And that's okay. what you do is you just forgive that. As I've become aware of that in myself, I just say, I forgive myself for being afraid. I forgive myself for thinking I'm this body or that I'm this dream figure called Lori. I forgive myself for preferring to stay asleep rather than awakening. I forgive myself. I forgive myself. And I turn it over to my mind, to the right part of my mind that is already completely whole. Line 8 says, Spirit is already perfect and therefore does not require correction. There is a part of your mind, your soul, your spirit, whatever you want to call it, the Holy Spirit within you, your higher self. That part of your mind is already completely whole, healed. It's never been sick. It has all the answers. That's why when I said earlier, if something I'm saying doesn't fit for you, go within to your own wisdom. You have all the answers. You, at some level of your being, know that you are the Christ, that you are equal to Jesus Christ, that Jesus in A Course in Miracles is saying, look, you are my brother. The only thing different from me and you right now is that I've figured it out, and you haven't yet. That's what Jesus says in A Course in Miracles. That's this incredibly tall order that we have to fulfill here. How many of us can say, wow, yeah, I'm equal to Jesus Christ and mean it without actually being psychotic or a narcissist? The ego or our small selves is so scared of that. It's like, oh my gosh, I'm being blasphemous. Oh my God, I'm not that good. I can't do that. I can't be like Jesus. I can't be perfect. It's terrifying. It really is terrifying. And a lot of people, rather than face the terror of that total joy and love of the Christ self, will go in a different angle and say, oh, no, no, Jesus in the Bible was the only Son of God. He was sent here to die for us on the cross, and we aren't like him at all. We aren't God's only begotten Son. Well, if you read the Bible verses differently, they do line up with A Course in Miracles. Jesus said, I and the Father are one. And he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And the I am, he also said, before Abraham was, I am. The I am is the Christ self. It's the Christ self that is the way, the truth, and the life. I and the Father are one applies to all of us. And when God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, there is one Son of God, and we are all it. We are all that one Son of God. It just appears that we are fragmented. So again, this is a very tall order. I don't think the world was ready for it 2,000 years ago when Jesus walked the planet, but it came in recently. And as we've moved into an age of higher consciousness, where we are understanding the metaphysical message behind Jesus' words in the Bible, in the Gospel of Thomas, and now here in A Course in Miracles, and we actually rise up to that challenge, we actually find that it is true. It is true. It's up to us to accept it. In line 2, it says, if a miracle worker doesn't understand how scary this is for people, they may unwittingly foster the belief that release is imprisonment, a belief that is already very prevalent. The reason we don't want to wake up is because we're afraid. We're afraid that life will be worse. We're afraid that if we completely surrender our lives to God, if we completely surrender to this part of ourselves, we won't be free anymore. We won't have our free will. We won't have control. We won't get to do what we want. I know I grew up with that in my church. God's will was bad to me. God's will was absolutely going to be something that I hated to do. And that's laughable. Now that I understand A Course in Miracles, that's completely laughable. God's will is simply only complete and total joy and awareness that you are the Holy Son of God. Let me make a statement here that this is not your small ego self that is the miracle worker. This is your Christ self. The ego self can't do anything. The ego self is little. The ego self is fearful. And there's a section in the 50 Miracle Principles in the beginning of A Course in Miracles that says, don't try to figure out what the miracle should look like. Turn that over to me, to Jesus. Turn that over because you don't know what it should look like. And if you think you do, then you're mistaken. So a miracle worker is one who is completely right-minded, completely aligned with God and love, and knows, as in line 5 here, that none of the errors of this world is meaningful because the miscreations of the mind do not really exist. The miscreations of the mind are all the forms of this world. The forms of this world appear real. This dream feels very solid to us, and yet physics tells us it's 99.9% empty space. We are looking at an illusion. The body's eyes are made to see illusions, and it's when you wake up to Christ-mindedness, miracle-mindedness, to Christ vision, that you start totally seeing that every form in this world is an equal illusion. And so the miracle worker needs to hold this right-mindedness steady, 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 and never waver. Because the minute the miracle worker thinks that the person is really sick, thinks the person is really has a problem, they've lost it. Because if you think they have a problem, you are not right-minded. As it says in line 9, the body does not exist except as a learning device for the mind. That's a heck of a strong statement. The body does not exist. There's another line in chapter 18 that says, at no single instant does the body exist at all. And the most common affirmation, repeated 144 times in the course workbook, is, I am not a body. I am not a body, I am free, for I am still as God created me, formless, eternal, changeless. You're not a body. And until you can look past the illusion of the body, you can't be miracle-minded. Because to be miracle-minded, you must look past the appearance of a broken leg, cancer, other diseases, poverty, etc., etc. You have to know, when you're looking at the person that you are working with as holding the truth about them, that they are the Holy Son of God, that they cannot suffer, they cannot be in pain, they cannot be hurt, that they have identified falsely with the body, with the small ego self personality, you as the miracle worker hold the truth and hold it completely. Because the Course says that the miracle worker gives to one, is from a person who temporarily has more and gives to someone who temporarily has less. Because, again, we all wake up to the true identity. But the miracle worker happens to appear to be awake now, whereas the person who appears to be sick and needing the miracle is having a little trouble with that, even though that's really an illusion. The miracle worker knows that it's an illusion. As it says in line 7, it is essential to remember that only the mind can create and that correction belongs at the thought level. When we see a miracle healing at the level of form, at the physical level, when people drop their crutches and walk again, when people have overnight cures of incurable diseases, etc. When we have miracles like that, what's happened is that the person has accepted at the level of mind that they are whole and complete and that they deserve only love. that as a child of God, I cannot be sick. I am a holy child of God. God loves me. I cannot be sick. And when you know that you are mind, I am the mind of God. I am not even this body. This body that looks like it's out there is not even there. And since I am one with the mind of God, how can I possibly be ill? A Course in Miracles says in Lesson 136, sickness is a defense against the truth, that this is not a subconscious process as it appears. It says that what happens is consciously we get this flash of truth, and we understand this at some very deep level. We know who we are. We know we're not these bodies. We know that we are beloved children of God. We know that we are powerful spirits. But what happens is we see that flash of truth, we push it down really fast, and then we forget that we did it. And then we double up fear on top of that. We double up physical illnesses. We have all these defense mechanisms covering the truth of our being. And so sickness is a defense against the truth. I've experienced that personally in my life. When I would be threatened by some loving thing or something that would seem to be scary to me in my life, and I'd get a migraine. Instead of going and moving into the love and opening my heart, I would get a migraine. And then when I've had the wherewithal to turn my mind over to the Holy Spirit, over to the right-mindedness, the migraine has disappeared without medicine. It just disappears. You can actually see this happening. And so the whole workbook program, the 365 workbook lessons of A Course in Miracles, are designed to gradually turn your mind over to truth. And I've been doing the workbook lessons over and over for years. And actually, it's only now that I am really getting this function of the miracle worker, that to hold that miracle mindedness as an absolute truth without wavering is my job. That's what A Course in Miracles says I am supposed to do here. It says that's my function. My function is to forgive the world. That's the only thing I'm here for, to forgive the illusion of the world, which then makes me a miracle worker. It makes me right-minded. When I see the truth and I hold that truth for myself, I'm also holding it for everybody else. But I didn't even really get that until just recently when I was working with Lisa Natoli. It's really calling us to be absolutely vigilant. It's truth or illusion. There is no compromise between the two. Paragraph 2 in Chapter 2, Section 5, The Function of the Miracle Worker. Magic is the mindless or the miscreative use of mind. Physical medications are forms of spells. But if you are afraid to use the mind to heal, you should not attempt to do so. The very fact that you are afraid makes your mind vulnerable to miscreation. You are therefore likely to misunderstand any healing that might occur. And because egocentricity and fear usually occur together, you may be unable to accept the real source of the healing. Under these conditions, it is safer for you to rely temporarily on physical healing devices because you cannot misperceive them as your own creations. As long as your own sense of vulnerability persists, you should not attempt to perform miracles. And I look at that and say, okay, I've been vulnerable and I have felt afraid up until just recently, where I really am feeling this calling to stick with this and be really clear under, again, the tutelage of Lisa Natoli. I've often, and most of the time, 90% if not more of the time, needed my migraine medicine, what A Course in Miracles calls magic, that it's all magic because, again, We are mind. There is no body. We are mind projecting the body out there, projecting the appearance of the body. To bring it back to the mind, to own your miscreations of your own mind and say, whoa, what am I doing? There's no body out there. Why am I projecting a body that's sick? So I can forget who I am as the Holy Son of God, as the Christ. But while we're too afraid to wake up to ourselves as Christ, I know for me it's scary. It's like I was raised in the Christian religion that says, you're going to go to hell for saying that. You're blaspheming God. How dare you? And what did they do to Jesus in the Bible for saying, I and the Father are one? They crucified him. So deep down within us, there's this other part of us that says, oh my God, do I dare speak up and own this and claim this and accept the atonement for myself, like A Course in Miracles says? Aren't I being arrogant? Aren't I being narcissistic? No, we're not, because the Course says it's the opposite. It's the egocentricity and fear that come from thinking we're the ego, from thinking that we are better than God. The whole thing about the ego is it wants to replace God. It wants to take over. This is my life, God. Don't you tell me what to do. And yet, we're not in these bodies. We don't have a life here. It looks like we have a life here. It looks like we're born, we live, and then we die. That's the illusion. And when you wake up, that's the true freedom. I know for myself, I have never found freedom until I've understood this concept. And as I worked as a psychotherapist for 25 years, studying all the different psychotherapy methods, all the medicines, all the techniques, and also as an interfaith minister, studied all these different religions and spiritual paths, none of them gave me the freedom that this book did, that made me wake up to my true identity. And I also did not have the freedom until I accepted atonement for myself, which I cannot say that I have done consistently. I've done it more and more and more in space and time. More of my time is spent in knowing the truth about myself, but it's not 100% of the time yet. But these medications, if we're afraid, go ahead and take the medication. Absolutely, go ahead and take it, because you're not meant to suffer. But as you take it, forgive yourself. Oh, I forgive myself for thinking I'm a body who needs this medication. And just know that as you heal and as you grow, you will become ready to perform miracles yourself. Paragraph 3. I have already said that miracles are expressions of miracle-mindedness, and miracle-mindedness means right-mindedness. The right-minded neither exalt nor depreciate the mind of the miracle worker or the miracle receiver. However, as a correction, the miracle need not await the right-mindedness of the receiver. In fact, its purpose is to restore him to his right mind. It is essential, however, that the miracle worker be in his right mind, however briefly, or he will be unable to reestablish right-mindedness in someone else. Lisa Natoli told me, one pure thought of God held in mind will heal anything that you think you're sick with, anything. When you accept atonement for yourself, you are completely healed. That is the healing. And part of me thought, well, that can't be. I need to get surgery, or I need to take this medicine, or don't I need to work on my childhood issues, or don't I need to sit there and release these thoughts over and over and over again and make sure that I'm on top of my game? Don't I have to purify myself a little better? Don't I have to eat a whole lot of good foods for me to be healed? And she said, no. One thought of God held in mind and held only in mind, that thought that you are the Holy Son of God, you are the perfect child of God, you are entitled to miracles because of who you are as the Christ self. That thought alone is all you need. And so when I went to see Lisa, I knew she could hold that for me because I couldn't hold that for myself. And every time I see Lisa and talk to Lisa, she says, Lori, you're perfect. You're whole. You're already healed. She knows that I'm already healed, and now there is a part of my mind that knows it too. And I can also see the other part that I still believe in going into fear like, oh my gosh, it hasn't shown up in form yet. But A Course in Miracles says, do not look at form. You have to look past appearances and hold that truth. Hold it, hold it, hold it, hold it. And that's the miracle mindedness. Paragraph 4. The healer who relies on his own readiness is endangering his understanding. You are perfectly safe as long as you are completely unconcerned about your readiness, but maintain a consistent trust in mine. That's Jesus talking here. If your miracle working inclinations are not functioning properly, it is always because fear has intruded on your right-mindedness and has turned it upside down. All forms of not right-mindedness are the result of refusal to accept the atonement for yourself. If you do accept it, you are in a position to recognize that those who need healing are simply those who have not realized that right-mindedness is healing. That's what Lisa was telling me. The right-mindedness, the acceptance of the atonement, is the healing. What is acceptance of the atonement? I accept atonement for myself. That's the catchphrase in Lesson 139 of A Course in Miracles. I accept atonement for myself. If you say that to yourself right now, I accept atonement for myself. What that means is you accept that you are as God created you. You are spirit. You have never left God. You have never been born into a body only to grow old, get sick, and die. You are at home with God right now. All the things you think you did that are so bad in this lifetime or in other lifetimes never happened. Why? Because it was all a dream. You've never done anything wrong. You are completely innocent. You are completely guiltless. And I know that as I have said this over and over to myself, the things I think I have done wrong, all the shame that I've carried, I'll say, oh, I forgive myself for thinking that I was Lori who did those things. I forgive myself for thinking that I could separate from God, from love that completely loves me. And if you can't relate to the idea of God or Jesus or whatever, because I've always had a hard time with that. I've had a hard time relating to divine mind, to God. I can do it off and on a little bit, and then the thought of God turns into a boogeyman because I was raised with the Christian religion that told me God was going to send me to hell. If I backslid and I did something wrong and I didn't ask forgiveness that day and that night I died in a car accident, well, then I'm going to hell, regardless of the fact that I accepted Jesus as my Savior. If I did something wrong that I didn't ask for forgiveness for, I'm gone. I'm a goner. And so I was scared to death all the time. And I was scared that my parents were going to hell. And just that terrible thought that God would do that to his children. So the word God has still, even today, retains a little bit of the boogeyman, I don't like you, you're a nasty SOB in my book. But not all the time, because there's other times when I can just use the word just fine and feel the loving presence, etc., when I'm in my right mind. But when I can't relate to the concept of God completely loving me, or that I've never done anything wrong, I'm still in the arms of God, what I can relate to is my own earthly father, who absolutely loved me unconditionally. And everybody has something, whether it's a dog or a mentor they had, or a sibling, or a teacher, or a parent, or somebody, somewhere, something. We've all had someone who loved us and really loved us. that if we can't relate to God loving us, use that image of that person in this life loving you and grasp onto it. And think about what they would say to you if you're feeling ashamed. But the thing is that when we accept atonement for ourselves, the big, tricky, difficult part is we have to receive it. It is there for us all the time. That love, that forgiveness, which actually we are not in need of forgiveness because we've never done anything wrong, but we think we are. That love, that wholeness is there for us waiting for our acceptance of it at every single moment. We do not have to wait to purify ourselves. We do not have to burn off our karma. We do not have to do good works. It is there for us this very moment. And when we accept it, we don't then have to go on being perfect all the time or spread the gospel. It's just always there for us every single moment. But we have to choose it. A Course in Miracles is all about choice. And that is the one choice we have to make. Because as long as we think we are separate, that we think we are separate individuals from God, then we have to choose God. And once we choose Him, we find that there was never any choice at all, that we'd never left. But it's a paradox. You have to experience it. I know I sound like I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth, but it is a paradox. It's the only choice we have, and once we make the choice, we'll see it was never a choice. Paragraph 5. The sole responsibility of the miracle worker is to accept the atonement for himself. This means you recognize that mind is the only creative level and that its errors are healed by the atonement. Once you accept this, your mind can only heal. By denying your mind any destructive potential and reinstating its purely constructive powers, you place yourself in a position to undo the level confusion of others. The message you then give to them is the truth that their minds are similarly constructive and their miscreations cannot hurt them. By affirming this, you release the mind from over-evaluating its own learning device, the body, and restore the mind to its true position as the learner. This line is one of the most important lines in the entire Course in Miracles. The sole responsibility of the miracle worker is to accept the atonement for himself. Every single one of us needs to accept the atonement for ourselves. And that is a joyous, beautiful, wonderful thing. It is the most wonderful thing you will ever do. Its counterpart in Christianity would be accepting Jesus as your Savior. But in this part, there is no thing that says you have to accept Jesus as your Savior or you will go to hell. And it's also not saying that Jesus is the only way. A Course in Miracles says there are thousands of paths back to God. And A Course in Miracles is one of them. What it basically is accepting that you are the Christ self. Accepting that God's love for you is the truth. And that's who you are. You are part of God. That's accepting the atonement for yourself. It is free. It is available to anyone, anywhere. Just like Jesus on the cross said to the criminals, "Today you will be in paradise with me." That's what he meant. But it doesn't mean that your friends have to accept Jesus and go up to the altar and only believe in Jesus. That is not what it means. Jesus the man is not the same as Jesus the Christ. Jesus the man became Jesus the Christ when he recognized his oneness with God, when he said, "I and the Father are one." We all become Christ consciousness when we recognize that. And that is when our minds are healed and when we will offer healing to others, because we can't help but do that. Once we see the truth about ourselves, we see the truth about everybody, because we are one. You cannot help but become a miracle worker when you have accepted it for yourself. But the Course says you have to first accept it for yourself, because until you accept it for yourself, you can't give it. It's like you can't give $10 to somebody if you don't have $10 to begin with. Same thing. Line 5. The message you then give to them is the truth that their minds are similarly constructive and their miscreations cannot hurt them. Whatever you have miscreated, an illness, poverty, relationship troubles, job troubles, war, it cannot hurt you, because as soon as you see that that is something you've made up, you've dreamed it up, just like your nighttime dreams, they can't hurt you. But if you believe them, they'll hurt you temporarily, as long as you believe you're a body. We've all woken up in a sweat from a nightmare. We thought it was real. That's exactly what our lives are like here. We think they're real, and they're not. We can laugh at them. And that's what A Course in Miracles means when it says the one problem we have is we forgot to laugh at that tiny, mad idea that we could be separate from God. Paragraph 6. It should be emphasized again that the body does not learn any more than it creates. As a learning device, it merely follows the learner. But if it is falsely endowed with self-initiative, it becomes a serious obstruction to the very learning it should facilitate. Only the mind is capable of illumination. Spirit is already illuminated, and the body in itself is too dense. The mind, however, can bring its illumination to the body by recognizing that it is not the learner and is therefore amenable to learning. The body is, however, easily brought into alignment with a mind that has learned to look beyond it toward the light. This is saying that we don't have to worry about the body learning or changing. It's never the body that does anything. It's always the mind that is projecting the body. It's the mind that is learning that it needs to turn itself back over to the right mind. That's how you become miracle-minded. You look past the body. You just don't think the body is anything. You just know that the body can't be sick because there is no body. That's when what will happen, as long as we appear to be walking this earth, the body can then be instantly healed, because we're not meant to be sick. As A Course in Miracles says in Chapter 8, a sick body does not make any sense. We're not meant to be sick. We're not meant to walk around and suffer. We're meant to be whole, and we're meant to be joyous. And as we become miracle workers and we wake up as the dreamer of the dream, we live the happy dream. The real world of truth and love and joy and peace rise up before our sight. Now is the body healed, and it will just become an instrument. The only purpose for the body is to share this message. The only reason I feel like I still appear to be in this body called Lori is to share this message. To share this message of truth. That is the only reason this body appears here. It's its only function. Its only function is forgiveness of the world, forgiveness of all the illusions. We're just about out of time, and I would like to remind you that you can go to my website, loricoburn.com, L-O-R-R-I, two R's, Coburn, C-O-B-U-R-N, and you can ask me questions on there, and I will turn my mind over to the Holy Spirit to type you back an answer. I appreciate you being on here with me and sharing this truth, because as I share the truth, it strengthens the truth in me. And that is true for all of us. Blessings to all of you, and I will be back next Wednesday night at 9. Good night.